Chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 in just a moment. Today's message is Easter. Celebrate your resurrection. Celebrate your resurrection. You know, there used to be a TV show called This Is Your Life. And unsuspecting guests would be surprised as their biography was narrated by the host and various family members and friends were brought out who had made an impact on the guest's life. And as the show began and the guests listened to the narrator telling the story of their life, at first they had no clue that he was speaking about them. And then usually partway through the narration, you could see the shock on their face as suddenly they realized that the facts of the story were the details of their life. You know, sometimes we can listen to a story and be well acquainted with the facts that we have probably heard many times over, and yet not realize that it really applies to us. Today we celebrate Easter, commemorating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a story that most of us are familiar with. In fact, most of us can probably readily recount the main facts of how Jesus died on the cross for our sins, how he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and how on the third day he rose again and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And we kind of know that it relates to us in some way because his death and resurrection made it possible for us to receive forgiveness for our sins. It made it possible for us to have a relationship with God and claim heaven as our eternal home. But what does a resurrection really have to do with us today? What about right now? Does it have any relevance for us where we live in the here and now? And these are the questions I believe Paul addresses in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Listen to his word. The scripture says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Did you hear that opening statement? Since then, you have been raised with Christ. That's why the title of our message is Celebrate Your Resurrection. Because we have been raised together with Christ in his resurrection. This resurrection is not about just something that happened in the distant past. Nor is it about something that will happen in the future as we anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said, he didn't say, "We shall be raised in Christ." He said, "Since then, you have been raised in Christ." He's saying this is an already accomplished action. It is an already won victory. It has already occurred. It is a present reality, a reality that all of those who have personally trusted Christ have already experienced. And Paul is basically telling believers at Ephesus and us as well that we need to live and act like resurrected people. We need to walk in the power of the resurrection. You know, there was a cartoon in a magazine that depicted a pastor addressing an overflow congregation on Easter Sunday. And he was a bit bothered by how, you know, the congregation probably doubled on Easter Sunday and he wouldn't see most of those people until the following Easter. And so he asked the question as he began to speak. He said, "Are you not just a little curious as to what goes on here between Easters?" It'll catch up with you in a moment. Well, today we want to talk about what goes on between Easters. We want to talk about what goes on between Christ's first resurrection 2,000 years ago and our blessed hope, our resurrection, when Christ shall come and we shall be taken up together with him to spend all eternity in his presence. But between those two resurrections, we need to live a resurrected life here on earth. Resurrection is the key, the guide, the power, the reason for living life now here in this world. The resurrection changes the way we live life on earth. It makes a difference in our day-to-day life. First of all, to be raised with Christ means that we have a new life. We have a new life. Resurrection means that we have passed from death unto life. And he says this has already happened. You see, prior to Christ's coming, We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were cut off from God. We could not know God. We could not have a relationship with God. We could not recognize His presence and His initiatives towards us. We could not respond to Him in all the ways that truly matter. We were dead, spiritually cut off from God. A professor told about an atheist who worked as a custodian in a seminary. And he enjoyed baiting the young theologians into an argument. He wanted to have a good debate with them. And he told one student who was reading a book about eternal life, he said, "If you ask me, that stuff is just so much hogwash. When you're dead, that's it." The student calmly looked at him and replied, "You're right, George. When you're dead, you're dead." And the janitor walked away wondering, what in the world this faithless young man was doing at seminary. But he didn't realize that the young man was not denying the reality of eternal life. The young man was declaring a statement about the custodian. He was spiritually dead. And so he could not understand or perceive spiritual truth and spiritual reality. It's not until we have faced the fact that we are spiritually dead and we have placed our faith in Christ that it opens up to us a whole new world, a whole new dimension that we never even knew existed before. We were made alive in Him. That's what it means to be born again, born of the Spirit. We are made spiritually alive. Oh, one day our physical bodies may die, but spiritually we have eternal life even this very moment. It's not something that we have to wait for in the far distant future. We have eternal life right now because we have a relationship with God, and we can enter in and experience and receive the spiritual realities that exist in that dimension. Resurrection changes the way we live. Jesus in His resurrection form was similar in some ways to His form before His resurrection. He had the scars in His hands and in His side. His disciples saw the scars. He invited them to put their hands in the scars. But He was also different. So much so that when He was walking on the road to Emmaus and He joined Himself to two of His disciples, they at first did not recognize Him. It took a spiritual quickening for them to realize that this was the resurrected Christ that was walking with them. We also see at other times He could appear in rooms where the doors were locked. Now, we're not going to suddenly possess the ability to walk through walls and appear in locked rooms because we've been raised with Christ. That's not going to happen. But resurrection changes us. In verse 3, Paul says, "For you have died, and your life, you have died with Christ, and your life is now hidden with Christ." You died. What does that mean? It means a clean break with your old life. It means a break with sin. It means a break with the person you used to be. And now we have been raised with Christ. It means an entirely new existence. Before, our thoughts, our desires were self-centered. They were sin-centered. They were earth-focused. They were focused on things and possessions and desires. But now our mind is focused on things above. Our mind is focused on things eternal. Our mind is focused on what pleases God and what God's purpose is for our life and what God's will is and what He desires from us. Now our life is now bound up with Christ. Inseparable. He said our life is in Christ. He is the focus of our thoughts, the object of our desires, the purpose of our life. He says we are hidden in Christ. Hidden means not seen. And what that means is that the true reality of our life is not seen. It is cloaked in Christ. And when people look at us, what they see is Christ in us. That's what they ought to see. Amen. If we're walking in that resurrection life. You know, around New Year's, I saw a newscast. And the reporter was on the street asking people about their New Year's resolutions. And there were many different responses related to, I'm going to try to be a better person. Or how they were going to try to change or improve themselves in some way in the coming year. Maybe they said, you know, I'm going to try to be more patient. Or I'm going to try to be kinder. Or going to try to be more generous. Some wanted to stop, instead of being a better person, they wanted to just stop some undesirable behaviors. Maybe they wanted to stop smoking, or maybe they wanted to stop drinking. And so these were the variety of New Year's resolutions that were presented. Of course, we know the fate of most New Year's resolutions, don't we? By about January 2nd. Many of them have fallen by the wayside because these are things that we are trying to improve or trying to change in our own power. But the Christian life is not about improving or fixing or recycling our old life. It's not about trying to be a better person, because if we could have done that in our own power, Jesus would never have had to come and die and rise again from the dead. Being raised with Christ, being born again, being a Christian is not about just fixing our old life or recycling our old life. You know, we hear a lot about recycling today, don't we? And it's a good thing. Recycling is about taking something that is garbage, something that we would otherwise throw away, and it would be waste. It's used, and yet it's taken, and it's changed and reconstituted, and it's made into a new product that is useful. But have you ever noticed that there are some things that are just not recyclable? I mean, you wouldn't think about recycling dirty diapers or used toilet paper. I mean, even to think about those things is disgusting. Those things can't be salvaged. You just need to throw them out. It's done with. And the truth of the matter is, our old sinful life can't be salvaged. And that's why Jesus had to die for us. And that's why Paul says, in a very real sense, we have died with Christ. We have thrown the old life out with Christ. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he meant that sin was defeated. We died with Christ, and now we have been resurrected or raised to new life in Christ. By the power of His Spirit, we are being made a new person. And it says we have been raised with Him. With Him. That means that there is an inseparable connection. He says also our life is hidden with Him. He is now living His life through us, so that Paul would say, it's no longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives in me. There is something that supernaturally takes place inside of us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's something that begins to work inside of us. It is His Spirit, and it begins to change us from the inside out. Being a Christian is not about trying to keep a bunch of rules, and it's not about trying to be a better person. Being a Christian is about placing our faith in Jesus. And as we trust Him day by day and moment by moment, His Spirit is at work in us and begins to change us. And one day we look back and we say, oh my goodness, I don't even recognize that person I used to be. It's not something we had to strive at. It's not something we had to struggle with. It's not something we had to work at. But as we trust in Him and surrender ourselves to Him every day, He works from the inside out and He changes us. But it's about trusting Him every single day. You see, believing on Christ is not a one-time event, but it's day by day, moment by moment, and it is an intentional act of putting our life in His hands. And as we trust ourselves to Him moment by moment and day by day, we begin to walk in resurrection power, where He begins to live in us, and He begins to live through us, and He begins to change our life. What Paul is saying here, he's saying, don't try to recycle your old life. It can't be salvaged. It can't be reformed. Dump it, trash it, kill it, throw it out, leave it behind, because our old life has to do with the things of the earth. Our whole old life is associated with sin. Our old life is associated with that which is already condemned and judged and will one day pass away. But Paul says our new life has to do with things that are above, things that are enduring, things that will last forever. And we are to live life on earth in the light of that reality. The accomplished fact that Christ, through His death and resurrection, won the victory for us and for everyone. And that is why He is now seated at the right hand of God. This is a picture of Christ being exalted. Sitting at the right hand in the Jewish concept was a picture of a future reward. But our salvation is not just about a future reward, because sitting at someone's right hand also pictured a place of victory, a position of victory. It is the place of a winner or a victor after a great battle. The king would call them and have them sit at his right hand. Well, Christ is a victor over a great battle. He has defeated the powers of sin, death, and the grave. He is a victor. He is the winner. And if we have been raised together with him, then the way we live each and every day demonstrates that victory that he has won. We will live victoriously over sin. We will live victoriously over every work of darkness, every affliction of the enemy, every temptation of Satan. And we will live not for the moment, but we will live for eternity. We will live not for momentary gratification, but we will live for that which pleases and honors God, and that which will endure throughout eternity. To be raised with Christ means that we have a new life. But to be raised with Christ also means that we have a new perspective. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians verse 2. He says, verses 1 and 2, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. He's talking about a changed perspective. When we are raised with Christ, it changes our view. It changes our perspective. You know, there are two perspectives from which everyone views life. And our perspective depends on our spiritual condition. We are either dead or alive. It reminds me of a question that was posed to two inmates that had been incarcerated for many years. And someone asked them, tell us, you know, what you think the world outside is like. Describe it to me. And one said, it's a dark and ugly place. It's dingy and it's dirty. And the other one said, oh, it's a beautiful place. It's filled with light. It's filled with wonder. And the difference was that one inmate would look out the window of his jail cell, and he would look down into the dirt and the mud that was outside. But the other inmate would look out the window of his jail cell, and he would look up into the beautiful, vast expanse of the sky. Two different perspectives. We have two different perspectives, and it flows from the spiritual reality of whether or not we are dead or alive spiritually. If you're spiritually dead, your perspective on life is horizontal. All you see is what is about and around you. It's fleshly, it's worldly, it's temporary, because you are blind to all the things that are spiritual, the things that really matter, the things that are eternal. You live for this life, and you live for earthly things, because that's all you have. Philosophy is like the man Jesus described when he said, the man said, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Because that's all you have. That's all you can see. That's all you know. But if you're spiritually alive, you have many more options. The person whose spiritual eyes have been opened sees absolutely everything, all of life, all events, all circumstances, from a point of view that is completely foreign to a spiritually blind person. That's why a spiritually blind person can't understand why we would want to go to church all the time. A spiritually blind person can't understand why we come in here and we lift our hands and our faces reflect a joy. They're like, what are those people so happy about? Why do they have to lift? They don't understand. And a spiritually blind person will never understand why you would want to give your hard-earned money away. They think we're nuts. But they don't see what we see. They don't know what we know, because they have not been raised with Christ. See, we have a completely different perspective. And that's what new life or new birth is all about. It's about regeneration. It's about everything in our life becoming new. We have a new life, so we have a new perspective. The believer in Christ has died, has been buried together with Christ, and has been raised back from the dead with Christ. And we are even now already seated with Christ in heavenly places, Paul tells us in Ephesians. So spiritually speaking, the Christian is in Christ. And since that's true, we are to consider everything from a heavenly perspective. Let me kind of describe it this way. If you're in your car driving around trying to get to work, you don't know from your perspective in that car what streets are under construction, where there's been a car accident, where there's a traffic tie-up. You don't know those things. Because so you could easily get caught up in a traffic jam. You could easily get delayed and end up being late to work because you don't know. You can't see from your perspective. But have you ever seen those traffic reports on the news and they've got a traffic helicopter that is hovering high above the skies and they'll tell you, don't take I-95 this morning. The southbound lanes, there's a four-car pileup and the traffic is backed up for an hour. So you better take as an alternative a State Road 7 if you want to get to work on time. What's the difference? How did they know that there was a traffic tie-up? They have a different perspective. They see things from a heavenly perspective. They're up in the sky. Not the heavens we're talking about, but they're up in the sky. And so they see things from a different perspective. Well, the truth of the matter is we have been raised with Christ right now, present tense. And Paul says in Ephesians that we are seated together with him in heavenly places. That's why he says here, set your mind on things above. See, what we need to have is a heavenly perspective. We need to see things from God's perspective. And that's what the Holy Spirit begins to do in us as we day by day place our trust in him. We begin to interpret all of life from God's point of view. And when we do, you find that this life is not only bearable, but it is purposeful and it is joyful. You know, in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 11, Paul does not say we are not affected by affliction, but rather he says that the inevitable afflictions that come to us in this life do not crush us. And sometimes we are perplexed, and sometimes we suffer persecution. Sometimes life is difficult, and there's days when it's just hard to get out of bed and keep going. But because our minds and hearts are practiced in the skill of interpreting life from heaven's point of view rather than from an earthly perspective, we are not overwhelmed by the struggles. We are not overcome. We are not cast down by the heartaches and difficulties of living in a fallen world. But we know that we have overcome them. We know that we have the victory. We know that God is outworking a purpose in every circumstance. The other option we have available to us is to continue thinking the way that we used to think before we knew Christ. Because back then we thought like everybody else. Our minds were set on the things of the earth. That's all we knew. We were blinded to the spiritual world. We were strangers to the concept of a God who is in control of all things, a God who loves us, a God who is guiding our life, a God who is working in every circumstance of our life for our good and for his purpose. We were blind to that. And so we go through something and we don't understand and we begin to become bitter and we begin to become angry and we begin to become depressed if we do not have a heavenly perspective, if we do not have the Spirit of God working in us, who enables us to have joy even in the darkest times, who gives us peace even in the most trying time, who gives us purpose in the times of confusion. See, we are capable of thinking the old way, but we must not. We must choose to set our mind on things above. And when we are troubled beyond measure, when we find ourselves despairing because of our terrible circumstance, when we go beyond just being sad or discouraged and we begin to delve into a sinful attitude of doubt and fear and we want to criticize our sovereign God and complain about our lot in life and how could God do this and if God is good, how could he let this happen? We get into a state of mind that is sinful and wrong because we have a wrong perspective. We have an earthly perspective that is closed off to the spiritual. We have stopped looking at things from heaven's point of view. We may be raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenlies, but our minds are stuck in the muck of this earth's problems and circumstances. When we set our mind on things above, we live this life on a plane that is beyond just the horizontal plane. But we are simultaneously living another life on a vertical plane. We see beyond what is just on the horizontal plane around us. We see and know a God who is in control of all things. We see and know a God who holds our life in his hand. We see and know a God who is working in every situation, in every circumstance, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We see and know a God who is touched with our infirmities. We see and know a God who hears and answers our prayers. We see and know a God who comes to our deliverance in the time of affliction. And we say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. So we do not lose hope, no matter how bad things may look on the outside, no matter what we may be going through, because we know that we have a sure and certain hope in the God that we serve. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We have a new perspective because we have been raised with Christ. And because we have been raised with Christ, we have a new hope. Verses 3 and 4, he says, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And he's talking about that ultimate and final resurrection when Christ comes to receive us unto himself. But he says, presently, our lives are hidden in Christ. From an outward perspective, it may not seem to the world that we are victorious. From an outward perspective, it may not seem like we are winners, that we have already won the battle. The world looks at us and they don't understand our lives. The unsaved person looks at us and they think we're foolish. They think we're fanatical. They think we have these poor, miserable lives because we're missing out on the real life. We're missing out on doing all the things they're doing. Our life is hidden from them. They don't understand. They can't understand because their eyes are blinded. They don't know the joy that we have. They don't know the love that we have received. They don't know how our life has been changed. They don't know the delight of having a relationship with God. They don't know that serving God is the best possible life that you could ever live. Hallelujah. But one day our lives will no longer be hidden. Because when he shall appear, see right now he's hidden from the world's eyes too. But one day he shall appear. And the Bible says every eye will behold him in that day. And here it says when he appears, we shall appear with him. What the world couldn't see. They thought that we were miserable. They thought that we were joyless. They thought that we were living some kind of restricted life. They can't understand us right now. But in that day when we appear with him, as he is revealed in all of his glory, they will stand back with envy. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Our lives will no longer be hidden. The world will know who we are. The world will know whose we are. The world will know who he is. And the world will know that the life we lived was worth it all in that day. Hallelujah. The resurrection is not some event that happened a long time ago with no relevance to our life. The resurrection is a present reality that can and does give us a new life, a new perspective, and a new hope. That's what salvation is all about. There is a new life waiting for every single one of us as we place our faith in Christ. I don't want to live out my own life, but I want to live out of his life in me. The old life having been put to death, I want Christ to live through me. I want to set my mind and heart on things above. I want to go through this life with a heavenly perspective. I want to go through this life seeing things from God's point of view. I want to keep my mind set upon the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. I want to live with that eternal perspective. I don't want to live for the moment, but I want to live with the weight of understanding of every choice that I make today, having ramifications that will echo throughout eternity. I want to live with the hope that is ours through Christ Jesus. We then, having been raised together with Christ Jesus, Have you been raised with Christ? Then let us walk in resurrection power. Let us walk as those who have experienced and are experiencing the life of Christ in us. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because that resurrection, as we place our faith in you, enables us to be raised to newness of life in Christ, giving us a new life, a new perspective, and a new hope. Father, I pray for those among us today that might yet not know Jesus Christ in a personal and living way. They may not yet have been raised together with him. And this morning, I know that you are calling them to you because you love them. Jesus died for them. He rose again that they also may have newness of life. And you're calling each and every one unto yourself today because you love them and it's your desire to have a relationship with them. And so, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit right now, be made real in each and every heart and draw souls unto yourself. In Jesus' name, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you can't say with complete assurance, I have been raised together with Christ. I am living a new life. I do have a new perspective. I do have a new hope. If you can't say with confidence, I know that I've been born again. I know that I'm saved and I'm living the life of Christ. He's living through me. If you can't say that with confidence, but you want to. You want to experience this new life, this new perspective, this new hope that I talked about. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to believe upon Jesus, and I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. Is there anyone this morning? Just slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I also want to talk to those of you this morning. You may be in church. You may even have prayed the sinner's prayer at one time. Tried to live the Christian life. And I say tried because maybe you were doing it in your own strength. And you know right now that the realities of what I was talking about, that new life, that new perspective, that new hope, that those are not realities in your life. That victory over sin and flesh, you know that those are not realities in your life. But you want them to. You want them to be. You've already prayed the sinner's prayer. You come to church. But if you're honest with yourself, you are not living that resurrection life. And this morning, you want to rededicate your heart to him, surrender yourself to him, and say, Lord, I can't do it in my strength. I realize that. And I want you to live through me. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up? I want you to live through me. Hallelujah. 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 Then I'm going to ask for all of us this morning, if we would just come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to live a resurrected life. I don't want to live in my strength. I don't want to live in my power. I don't want to live out of myself. I want Christ to live in me. I want to live a resurrected life that pleases and honors Christ in every way. Hallelujah. Either at this altar, you just talk to God this morning and you make that commitment, you make that dedication to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you that this resurrection life is available to each and every one of us as we place our faith in Jesus. Lord, I pray that every one of us would realize that this is a moment by moment, day by day, intentional choice that we must make to place ourselves in Christ so that our life can be hidden with him, so that he can live through us and in us. Lord God, we pray at this altar today that you would live through us in every aspect of our life. So that when people look at us, they wouldn't see us, but they would see Christ in us. So that our lives would bring you glory and honor in everything that we say and do. We dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to you this morning and to live the resurrection life. in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord.